Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, everyone. This is Mary Lurson, Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, and welcome to this episode of Talking Up Music Education. I'm here live from the NAMM show here in Anaheim, California, and right now we are also live on Facebook at Enter Talk Radio. So please let anyone in your network know that we're available to share some time with my guest, Mike Blakeslee.
Hi.
The Executive Director of the National Association for Music Education, and Denise Oldegard, the president, the current president of
Hello.
The National Association, officially known as NAFME.
That's right.
Yep.
Like, we are NAMM, you are NAFME.
They both start with N.
Acronyms are us, right?
Yes.
That's fine. So thank you so much for being with us. What brings you to the NAMM show? Let's start with that.
Oh, my heavens. Well, we've been working with NAMM for probably 100 years.
Yes.
I mean, we're both organizations that have a long history and a long history of service. And I think increasingly for the last two decades, we've been working together in particular on advocacy.
Mm-hmm. But particularly, you're here to do what? You brought a team here to...
Oh, we brought our executive committee for a board meeting. We actually had an online meeting with our whole board, but it's also to see what you do and experience your whole experience here, which has been really fabulous.
That's great. Well, we're so delighted that you're here and that you chose NAMM to have a board meeting. It's really important to us. One of the things that we really like to encourage and foster is leading national, international organizations to come and convene here when the music sector gets stronger and stronger. We kind of all get strong together. So it's wonderful that you're here.
Great, thanks.
So tell us both of you tell us about your background in music ed, you know, if you've been a teacher, what you've performed, where it started. Denise, you're from the Midwest. Tell us.
That's correct.
What's your life? Or orchestra teacher?
Yeah, I won't start when I was five, but
right. Well, we had one of our guests did, and it was interesting. So.
Well, I've been through job interviews where they do that, so
okay.
I'll give you the short version. But I did grow up in Fargo, North Dakota, and I was a string major in college, music education major, and ended up back in Fargo teaching for about 35 years, teaching orchestra. Now I work with our drama and music teachers in the district. And I think I was 20 when I started teaching, and I've been on a board since I was 20, and I love the work, just being a part of the change in the world and meeting with other like minds and just seeing the exciting momentum that happens from board to board to board. So in my own state, I was executive director of our North Dakota Music Association and president. I've been on the National ASTA String Teachers Board. And so I guess I must go seek this out or something, but yeah. It is fun to be in the conversation and be a part of the change in the world.
So you are now a district coordinator for the fine arts,
performing arts, music and drama. I do everything but evaluate the teachers. So work on the budget, scheduling, those kinds of things, mentoring new teachers.
For Fargo, North Dakota.
Yes.
When in the winter, do they do more arts and music than the rest of the world?
Well, I had a conversation with the executive director of our symphony one day, and she's like, we're just going to have all these great festivals when it's 30 below, and just people are going to just come, and it's going to be great. So it's like, what else can you do? So,
because, you know, that's, yeah, just get there, and it's going to be wonderful, and then you'll be fine when you...
But I've missed all the 30 below and 20 below by going to state conferences, so this has been a great year.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your great service to the field leadership roles, because leadership really does matter. Speaking of which, Mike Blakeslee, Executive Director, heading up this important national organization.
Right. Well, trying to serve our 60,000 members and 130,000 when you count all of our high school kids who are in our Tri-M Honor Society. Yeah, I started in music, not when I was five, but I think I was about seven, started playing the violin. I ended up teaching both here and overseas a little
bit.
South America, in Colombia. But then I've worked now for NAFME for 30 years this past Christmas.
We had a little anniversary celebration.
That's right. It was fun.
Well, that's wonderful, Mike. I didn't know it was 30 years.
That's right.
Remarkable.
And it's remarkable to see the growth, not only in our association, but in music education across the nation.
Mm-hmm. And in your association, I must say.
Yes, absolutely right.
I mean, really important, the work that's being done there. I have to say, too, that the Support Music Coalition, which mm-hmm. is the signature program in the NAMM Foundation, was established in direct collaboration with NAFME.
I remember that initial meeting.
And I have to say, Mike, you coined the term support music. So I will, you know, we always acknowledge that.
Well, thank you. And
you could have locked us up really around that. You know, you can't use it unless you know. We're going to call it support music. And we flew under that banner for many, many years, so Support Music Coalition, until now it's a program of the NAMM Foundation. Mm-hmm. And we really let the work flow through your organization and our organization and overlap. You know,
well, it's coalitions and working together like that that are so important, because the challenges we face and the good we can do for the world is so significant mm-hmm. that we need all hands on deck.
Yeah. Though I do remember it was conversation here at the NAMM show mm-hmm. in a conference room one that I laid out the idea. Mm-hmm. And people on my side and people on your side were not quite so sure. But we just didn't bother convincing, and we just did it. I think that, honestly, it's a great partnership along the way. So I can't help resisting speaking to the two leaders of your organization. My always cutting-edge question, almost every quarter, mm-hmm. is how are we doing? You know, how is music education doing? And we've gone through periods
right.
where we have been in such a serious defensive posture, waiting for the spring budget cycles and the cuts to occur. You know, I mean, that was the threat for decades, really. Where are we with
So I'd have to say it's a mixed bag. The basic outlook is good, because I think more and more, because of a lot of the work we've done, people nationwide understand the importance of music as part of a well-rounded education for every child. We don't have to do as much to fight that very basic battle anymore. And so we have districts in the nation that are exemplary in giving the right amount of time, the right amount of support for music for the teachers and, of course, for the kids. However, there are districts where things are very, very weak. And that's what we have to work at, because, you know, music education is something that is so important for kids. It becomes an equity issue. When any child in this nation, in our wealthy nation, doesn't have the wherewithal to given to them to have a music education that's so important for their future development, that's a real rights issue.
Mm-hmm. So you would say it's good, but not where we really all want it to be.
It's great where it exists with strong support. Mm-hmm. In most parts of the country, I think it's at least adequate, but there are, you know, spots where it's just not adequate at all.
Yes.
This is really the perfect storm, I think, happening right now with the ESSA legislation, with music being enumerated as its own subject. It's a talking point that we all have. What we talked about just the recent meeting we were just at about Title I and how to get in there and talk language with administrators. There's so many things going on in education that are what we already do in the music field. And so I think there's a kind of a perfect storm happening, and we need to seize that opportunity to really keep music education growing across the country.
So that's wonderfully, wonderfully put. Just drilling down to our audience, who is people who are concerned for music education and advocates or potential advocates for music education, what do we have to do to keep drilling down? You know, conversations with administrators, and that goes to the public perception. You know, when I came up, this was, 35 years ago, I was teaching full-time, and I taught for 16 years, which I go, when was that 16 years? I mean, it was 16 years of, and it, we were extracurricular. Mm-hmm. We were, you know, it was, well, we've got to have these things in the schedule, right? And then you had the music and the arts and the PE over here. We were extracurricular. We were special courses, and we released time for teachers,
right?
Well, we've really taught teachers how to ask for things and not settle for just being after school extracurricular. I mean, just having the language. I know in my own district, I talk a lot about we are what we are, and we're not. We don't want to be compared to sports. We have our own needs, and this is the benefits that it gives kids. And when you take that approach, instead of comparing it to somebody else, like we don't have this, we don't have this, it's this is what we need. We have the opportunity to learn standards right. That really give us some leverage. We have our standards that give us leverage to say this is on a national level what the expectations are and how we're not reaching that. So I think we're really teaching teachers how to advocate, but we need to do a lot more of that.
Yeah, and everybody needs to have the right language to use. So we have standards. Now we're actually on our second round of standards. First ones were in 1994, and now we have them that we published in 2014. They specify and spell out for anybody who wants to know exactly what music education can be and should be for kids. But then we follow up on that with what Denise is calling and what we call the opportunity to learn standards. So if you agree that a music curriculum is going to be good for kids, well, what do you mean by a music curriculum? Do you mean 2 times a year that the kids are going to have some experience? And we say no. For it to be a genuine curriculum, you have to have a certain amount of time. The teachers have to have a certain amount of training. We have to have a certain amount in terms of musical instruments and accessories. There has to be a place to teach. And most of all, there has to be time to do that teaching. Mm-hmm. So we have those sort of thought through so that anytime there's an issue, a teacher or a parent who wants to be an advocate can go in and say, gee, do we really have a good music program? What do we need and what do we need to do to serve our kids?
That's interesting what the way you've put it. We find that in this time, and I agree with you, that we've created some momentum, right? We've created momentum around the value of music education. We've created some momentum around the belief mm-hmm. that every child should have it, that the Federal Education Act allow us to, it's codified.
Right.
Right? We have language that codifies it. The state education plans align to the federal
right.
law. We've got some. And the gap, as I'm perceiving it, is in the how-to.
Yeah.
And you just explained the opportunity mm-hmm. to learn. And as I, you know, go and look at and interact with school districts and individual school superintendents, school leaders, they go, man, I just want this robust program, but I have no idea where to start because we haven't had it for 20 years.
I think if you have a desire to have something added to your day or a different kind of program, you have to kind of figure out a 3 to 4 to 5 or 6 year plan sometimes to make it manageable, because it really does come down to money a lot of the times. And when there is no money, how do you creatively ask for money or make it more manageable for the district to be able mm-hmm. to do that? So,
and there are some models. I'm very proud of a little bit of assistance with the Anaheim Elementary School District here in Anaheim that 4 years ago had no music educators and is now, and by next year, we'll have 26,
That's
one
great.
In every building. But again, a very deliberate, it's like if a district never taught math and they had to reinstate math. Well, you wouldn't do trigonometry first, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So,
well, and it comes down to, as you say, a lot of things about the number of teachers, about very basic things like that. So I agree, and we're agreeing vociferously here, that we have achieved this basic advocacy thing where there's a base of knowledge that music is important. But what that constitutes is hard. And there's so many things that can come in the way. Scheduling issues, the method of scheduling used in a school district or in a school can
be very trendy. One
right.
every 3 years it's block, and the next 3 years it's something
new
else.
New requirements. And then states will put in requirements for mm-hmm. curriculum that say, so now we need to add XYZ, a financial
Usually
literacy
it's state
or something
history
like that.
Too.
Right. And then they bring that in, and those are often worthwhile subjects.
Right.
But the problem is that the way you implement them can either support or really do damage to a curriculum like music.
Yeah. And I think you have to empower teachers to teach them how to go in and talk to an administrator. A lot of them are intimidated by talking to their administrator,
sure.
but helping them come up with a plan of talking points or how to get to what you want to ask for and, you know, supplying documents such as the opportunity to learn standards, giving them the tools to feel empowered to understand how to talk the language that they need to talk. That's really where our training really needs to focus.
And I have a very odd theory about that.
This will be interesting.
That teachers do need to be trained, I think, to speak to their principal because it is the principal's office.
It is, and we know what that's like growing up, right?
That's what I mean. It's not really
it's intimidating.
You know what it's like.
No, I don't personally know. I've just heard secondhand stories.
But I think that there's something there, you know, with the hierarchy of our schools and the hierarchy and teacher.
I mean, to work there a long time with that person.
Yeah, so. And you are many times are not treated as a valued peer. You're treated as your subordinate.
Yeah.
So I think it's the tone and the atmosphere. I think many schools are changing to be team-based management models.
Right.
But I think teachers need to develop that confidence because I think it's not just that they don't believe that they should advocate. I think it's the environment
Confidence and it's communication skills. So even if you have, and I think most teachers do, a really pretty good idea of this is what I'm doing by teaching. These are the goals I have. You have to be able to put those goals in terms of the people you're talking to. So to a principal, it's probably good to say, I want to put on a good winter concert. But that's probably not sufficient. You have to say, I'm doing this because the atmosphere of the entire school will be raised when the kids engage through music education. They get better self-efficacy. They learn how to work with others. All of those social and emotional learning things that come not in replacement of, but automatically along with good music education.
The outcome of music education.
There's a lot of places that don't have a job like I have working with the teachers or somebody to advocate for them. And I was just talking to somebody in the last couple of days. It's like, the teachers will call them to take care of an issue because, you know, they're more, even though I get teacher pay, they feel like you're more of a on the same level as they are. So they think we get more done than they would, but we have to teach them how to do what we do.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, I guess I have if I could wind back time, right, what we would do differently in certain situations. And my very first job, I had 6 principals that I worked for.
Oh, my.
In the land of itinerant instrumental music teacher, right?
The last one hired.
Right. 6 out of 12 elementary schools, 6. And I don't know what possessed me. Maybe it was just fate, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how was I going to, one was technically in charge of my evaluation, but 6 were all very much present to my success, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what possessed me, but I thought the only way I'm going to get through this basically, is I went to every single one and I asked, I didn't say, I need a room to teach the thing. Can I get a place to store the instruments? And I can only be here on a Tuesday.
Right.
My first thing I asked them said, what do you need me to do to help the school be more successful for its students? And I thought, man, where did that come from?
You've been doing this a long time, haven't you?
I did, because it was the only way I was going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I didn't know, get a bead on that principle, he goes, just stay out of my way, right? Which I bet is really what they want to say, some of them. We got to have a great holiday concert here. I mean, we've had this tradition, and always start. And, you know, it was just that kind of baseline, you know, it's, and I think we're still right there. We got to know what the education leadership wants from us in every environment that we teach.
I do that with mentor new teachers, and we go in and have a meeting with the principals called a triad meeting where we come to some agreement about who can talk to whom about what, but we always talk about what are the school goals and how do we accomplish that in music. And so that's a tying what music education is into what the school goals are is really important to making that class relevant.
And it's interesting that same approach works at a national level with advocacy. Mm-hmm. When you go into the office of a senator or an official in the U.S. Department of Education, you have to put the benefits of music education in terms of the kids who we're all serving when all is said and done, but in terms of what the goals are of that individual for their school or their state or their department.
Yeah, I guess you could say I took the advocacy angle from my very first day on the job.
Good for you.
You did.
Because it was the only way I was going to, you know, maybe just a practical being practical about
it. That jump-started your career at NAM.
I guess, maybe. But we're so grateful for the partnership with NAFME. It's kind of never failed us.
Yeah, it's been,
you know,
it's
and we never really had any big rows or anything. We would pound the tables a little bit on around some things and talk through some things, but never, you know, it was never any moment where we said it's too difficult to work or we're not headed in the right direction. I mean, it was always cumulative.
But we partner. I mean, we're a good partnership because we deal with the educational part. You deal with the vendors and the you're reaching out to now other areas of education, but it's well-rounded, I would have to say.
It's a well-rounded collaboration.
Collaboration, yeah.
And you think that our NAM members are probably in direct partnership with every single one of your members. Almost
sure.
On a weekly basis.
Well, and such a large number of people in the music industry have such a background in music education, either as students or often as teachers as well.
Yeah. I love the story we just had this morning of the VAPA coordinator for Orange County was in the band of one of the NAM members who's now the CEO emeritus of KHS Music.
That's right.
I mean, but, you know, this is wonderful.
Yeah, you get stories that all the time.
But your vendors are the ones that are actually doing a lot of the mentoring out in the field because they just, teachers don't have anybody in rural areas, isolated areas. So they have a big job to keep those teachers going. And so this education you provide for them really helps that and helps teachers stay in the profession.
Right. So what's next for NAFME? Next 6 months, 8 months? Conferences, gatherings.
We have a large conference coming up in Atlanta for our higher ed folks who are trying to look at research and new methodologies in music education. Then come November, we have another big meeting of all of our teachers at all levels. And then I'm taking these out of order, but this summer we have another National Assembly where we have something like 200 of our leaders from across the states. Because at NAFME, we're a national association, but we're really part of a family of state associations. We have associations in every state in the District of Columbia, representing our European music educators, mostly in the Department of Defense schools. And actually, we now have a chapter in India.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. And that fabric, I'll tell you, that fabric of national to state and even to county is, I mean, it's precious. Levels of support, yeah.
One more thing we have, too, is our All-National Honors Ensembles. We're adding a guitar performing group to that mix, band, orchestra, choir, jazz band, and guitar. So we're really excited about that, too.
That's terrific. Well, congratulations on all your great work.
Well, congratulations to you for the same thing.
And for all your important leadership. And, you know, leadership is a labor of love.
It is.
So thank you for that. And thank you for joining us at InterTalk Radio and the NAM Foundation for this episode of Talking Up Music Education, a podcast of the NAM Foundation.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. Nam. That's Mary L. N. A. M. M.